child, but I'm reserved and far too, far too unconcerned. I can't help myself, I am coming down to push your buttons. This backsliding dance, the best of best friends, is making me nervous. Oh, I can't help myself, I am coming down to push your buttons.
Hey guys, it's Tanya Schultz with So Show Chats. No aging. I'm live streaming with my co-host, Sandra Lopez, and I'm hoping that she's on the line.
I am.
You are? Okay.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay, I think awesome.
Fantastic. Yeah. Awesome. How was your Valentine's?
It was wonderful. I had a wonderful day altogether. I had lunch with you and your beau. And then went out on an informal Valentine's Day date. And it was very nice. Very nice.
Those are the best ones, the informal ones.
Yeah. It was, informal. We just met. So, it was very nice. It was very nice. It was refreshing.
Oh, cool. So can you hear me pretty well, or? I just want to make sure. Okay.
I'm hearing you perfect now. I called you from the landline versus the cell phone because the building has some issues.
Yeah. They need my tower. That tower that I got that is sitting in my box.
The tower?
Yeah, the antenna tower.
Yeah, I don't know where it's located on this building. I mean...
No. I'm talking about the tower. Remember the repeater that I... The Scotty paid $900 for somebody.
Oh yeah.
Because we had this problem of trying to help people and giving them their dreams. So you tell us it's just because you're my friend. You tell me that you have an idea. We did it for some unknown reason. My boyfriend likes to like fund it for some reason.
Gosh.
Yeah. Oh. So now we have a repeater that's sitting in our house. That's
well,
a great
you have to
phone tower.
To hook it up.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm going to do, I think. I was looking at it, and I'm going to have somebody, like, come over, and I'm going to pay someone just to figure it out.
Hey, what about the guy we know, Juan? You never know.
You think he will do it?
Who knows? He might.
Well, ask him for me, then.
I will. I just thought of him, Sometimes, I know you've told me this before, and, he was out of town for a while. He was living in Georgia, so.
Oh, okay.
But he's back. Yay!
Yay! Yeah, I might have to need his service. because I want to get that hung up so that I can have a stronger signal in my mobile. And hopefully one of these days, AT&T, which I might just switch to another company, go 4G. I want to try 4G. I hear so much stuff about it. So
there's no 4G on AT&T?
Only in Orlando, Florida.
Oh.
Right? So today we have a special guest. We're going to give him a call later. But before we go, I want to talk about heart health a little bit. Because the month of February is the month of heart health, so.
Oh, okay, yeah. Very important.
It's extremely important. I think yesterday when I was streaming yesterday's show at... GL Clinic, yeah. And I forgot. Oops, hold on. I hit the wrong button. Sorry. Oops. Okay, you know what? I'm turning down the volume. Here we go. When I forgot the cord to my computer to stream, and I had 10 minutes of the show went on, and I just running upstairs to my place and running downstairs, and just my God.
Oh, I know.
I know. My heart was like...
You did a couple of trips.
Yeah, my heart was like pounding like crazy. And I'm like thinking, thank goodness I've been doing my treadmill run. I used to walk, but now I walk and I run and I walk and I run and I walk and I run. And I take a lot, I take my CoQ10, my L-carnitine and all that good stuff. But I was just thinking, and then as I'm rushing, I look up in my rearview mirror, and there's a sheriff following me. Like,
oh, gosh.
Yeah, I told you. I'm like, wow. And, you know, with women, I mean, I could imagine how women can get heart attacks so quickly and not know that we're having a heart attack.
Yeah, well, yeah, we don't get it as, we get it in different places than men do, too.
Yeah.
We get signs, like, in the middle of our back, our upper back. It's really different. I know because my ex-husband, you know, had a couple of heart attacks, and we started to, like, be more aware of how to detect, you know, something like that.
Well, when he first had his first one, do you recall what, you know, as far as what he was, what his symptoms were?
Oh, yeah. He felt like there was someone putting his foot in the middle of his chest and holding him down. And then when it was full blown, it was like an elephant's foot on the middle of his chest. And that was a sign of his heart attack.
Wow. So it's like somebody ran over his chest?
Yep. Or just like bearing him down.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's, and can I ask you another, like, question? Did you think he was having a heart attack, or were you just thinking something, just he has gas or something?
Well, he thought he had gas. You know, we had steak that evening. Mm-hmm. He started to feel it. We were actually in the Bahamas, and he started feeling it while he was lifting weights. And, you know, he took a couple of timeouts and didn't overexert himself. And he was okay up until we got home. Uh-huh. And we were dying to eat a big steak because, you know, the food in the Bahamas isn't that great.
Yeah.
Unless you're eating conch and, you know, seafood.
Yeah.
We ate this huge steak and we were like loving it. And, you know, we thought, oh my God, that steak, you know, gave him an angina attack, you know?
Yeah.
And he felt also like, you know, like he might have had gas or something. It was the furthest thing from his mind that he was going to have a heart attack at age 36.
And 36 years old, wow. Because you never really hear about that. Usually you hear heart attacks like at the, you know, it hits 50 old men.
Yeah, well, he had a pretty weird lifestyle.
Uh-huh.
And aside from that, you know, he didn't take care of himself. He had gained a lot of weight and then decided to lose the weight really fast.
Uh-huh.
Plus, he was a smoker since he was 12 years old.
Wow.
And so all of those, you know, added facts, you know, he ended up with a heart attack. And actually, he's had three. So he's had a series of heart attacks.
Wow. So are you certified, trained CPR?
I'm not, but I did it in high school. I can tell you, I would never remember how to save someone's life.
Yeah, I did it in, I think in 10th grade, they offered it. Like, back when we both went to high school. But today we're going to have Lon Ronson, the founder of One Beat CPR.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
very cool.
So,
I would love to take a course again.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah,
and,
no.
You know, possibly save someone's life. You know, I work in a doctor's office, and I think it's very appropriate.
That is so important. And, you know, and there's another question I'm going to ask him when we call him in a few minutes, is that... If you know how they say don't touch anyone because you might get sued?
I beg your pardon?
You know how they say that don't touch anyone because they might end up suing you?
Yeah.
So,
well, let's see. They'll sue you if you save their life?
Yeah, they will if you did something wrong with them. I think.
Oh,
I don't know. This is, you never know these days. People just sue. They love suing, so. You know, it's the suing entitlement world that we live in, but it's all good. I'm going to go on, let me post this on Hootsuite so we can get this out on Twitter. But you know, before I go, I'm going to pull up statistics of heart attacks in America.
I'm sorry. I'm at the office.
I can hear you in the background. I love it.
And the phones are ringing.
Heart attacks. Heart attacks.
When our guest goes on, I'm going to mute you so that you don't hear the background noise, but I'm going to be listening.
Okay. So here's the heart disease facts and statistics. Let's look at facts.
Correct.
So according to the Center of Disease Control and Prevention, in 2008, over 616,000 people died of heart disease. Heart disease caused almost 25% of death, almost one in every four in the United States. So one in every four person walking around the United States. This is only in 2008. I could imagine what,
One in every four? Well, I think, I had hoped the statistics are now lower than that, because I don't know if there's more awareness. I mean, all the fast food places are now serving healthier food. So, hopefully we have less heart disease.
Well, I hope so, but that does not mean that's going to happen.
I'm the ultimate optimist. Sorry.
Yeah, I know, but it's. I hope it's true, but I get this slight feeling that it's not, because usually numbers go up, and I know heart disease is one of the biggest issues in America. But according to this, they say that heart disease is a leading cause of death for both men and women. More than half the deaths due to heart disease in 2008 were men. Coronary heart disease is the most common type of heart disease. In 2008, 405,309 people died from coronary heart disease. And every year, about 785,000 Americans have a first heart attack. Another 470,000 who have already had one or more heart attacks have another attack. Okay, here's an interesting number right here. In 2010, coronary heart disease alone was projected to cost the United States $108.9 billion. This total includes the cost of health care services, medications, and loss of productivity. And the interesting note about this, and again, I'm getting this straight from the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention, so I'm not making up these numbers. The death varies by ethnicity. And this is very interesting as far as the numbers are concerned. And here I am, like, thinking, hey, I'm Asian. Asian people don't have that much issue. But think again. They say African American has 24.4% of deaths. And American Indians or Alaska Natives, 17.9%. They have the lowest. I wonder because do they eat more fish or something? Because you always think that they eat more fish. Asian or Pacific Islander, 23.2%, and Hispanics 20.7%. So Hispanics are, their deaths is lower than Asians, and then whites.
That's crazy. We eat all those rice and beans and meat.
Yeah, well, whites are 25.1%.
Wow.
And they say that across the United States, death rates due to heart disease in 2008 were highest in Mississippi and lowest in Minnesota. So if you live in Minnesota, there's less heart attack, I guess.
What?
They say that the death rates due to heart disease across the United States, if you want to go geographic-wise, is, this is according to, this is in 2008, okay? Mississippi is the highest, and the lowest is Minnesota.
Oh, gosh. I wonder why.
I wonder why, too.
What are they doing in Minnesota that we don't know about?
What's Minnesota known for, anyway? Mall of America? They shop a lot.
So they're doing their mall walk.
Yeah, there you go.
Is that the biggest mall or in the world or United States?
I think it's one of the largest mall in the United States. I'm not quite sure if it's the largest one in the world, but I know the United States is the largest mall. It's huge. And then they say that risk prevention for people with heart disease. Studies have shown that lowering cholesterol and blood pressure levels can reduce the risk of it. Dying from heart disease, having a non-fatal heart attack, needing heart bypass surgery or angioplasty, For people without heart disease, lowering cholesterol and blood pressure levels can reduce the risk for developing heart disease. Yeah, I'm like borderline high cholesterol, but I have good cholesterol.
You have a high good cholesterol?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's why I always I have really good high cholesterol. I have high cholesterol. I have like 199, 200, but most of it they say that my good cholesterol is extremely well.
I don't know where I'm at. I haven't had a blood test yet this year, but usually my cholesterol levels are even. They're just perfect. I don't know.
Awesome.
I don't know what they are specifically because I haven't done it in such a long time.
Ah. See, yeah. I unfortunately, it runs in my family, so.
High cholesterol?
Yeah, it runs in my family.
So it's possibly genetic.
Yeah, because my cousins, all of them, and like sometimes when I catch myself eating like shrimp and lobster,
right.
That raises your cholesterol level.
Foods that are, yeah, high in cholesterol.
Yeah, so that would do it. And then, so according to this also, Americans that are at risk, this is the percentage of U.S. adults with heart disease risk factor between 2005 and 2008. And this is very interesting, and what they lead to is you're gonna go wow. So 53% is inactivity. So if you don't move, there's 53% of them that are at risk at heart disease. So you need to move. Obesity is 34%. High blood pressure is 32%. Cigarette smoking 21%. And high cholesterol 15%, and then diabetes 11%. But I look at diabetes and I usually think that obesity and diabetes are linked together, but depending on what kind of diabetes you have too.
But not necessarily. I mean, I know a lot of diabetics that are skinny. They lose
a
lot of
weight
and they become diabetics. They get on the meds.
Yeah, because they are. I guess because their pancreas is not making the insulin they need. So yeah, but the difference between the men and women are extremely interesting. As I'm looking at this, but I wanted to talk about the men and heart disease.
So are men more susceptible?
Well. No, actually, they are the same amount.
Oh, okay.
I think. Let me go back and double check before I make that statement. Let's see. Heart disease death rates. See, the numbers are like very like the heart disease fact sheet that they have on Center for Disease Control and Prevention is from 2000 to 2006. That's like so almost obsolete. They need to they need to like. Go back out there and get some more info. And it's for adults age 35 and older.
Wow.
Okay, so like for example, through this, heart disease is the leading cause for death for both men and women. Half the deaths due to heart disease in 2006 were in women. So the number, this is 2006 numbers. I'm sure it's different. What is
Hold
that?
Hold on a second. There's a loud noise in this office. Hold on.
I'm like, what is that?
I'm not having a heart attack.
Yeah, I'm like, what is that? Please don't have a heart attack. We're not ready for you to have one yet.
No. I took my CoQ10 and L-carnitine this morning. So.
Oh, you did? Good.
Yay.
Yeah.
I did too. Thanks to you.
Yeah, I did too. And then I walked my dogs, and then Tova got out, and then Helak got out, and my heart was going, okay, this is too much stress before the day starts. So I just decided, you know what, I'm going to, go back in again. So let's talk a little bit about heart failure fact sheet. And then I'm gonna get Lon on the phone. Heart failure death rates among adults aged 65 and older by state in 2006. I don't know. I kind of wanted some really, real good statistic that recent. But 2006 is as much as they have. But then they have, like, 2010, they have information like, in 2010, heart failure will cost the United States $39.2 billion.
Wow.
We spent a lot of money on this stuff, huh?
Yeah, I don't know how it's going to cost that much. I'm like, you know, they also have the FDA prescribing all these medications for heart disease.
Well, because FDA needs to make that, you know,
extra buck
or something.
Whoops! Did I just say that?
Yes, you did.
Sorry. I hope they're listening.
I'm sure they are. They say that when you have a heart failure, here's some of the symptoms, and I always like think about this: shortness of breath during daily activities, having trouble breathing when lying down, weight gain with swelling in the legs, ankles, or lower back. General fatigue and weakness. That's kind of scary.
You know, I have some of those symptoms.
You do not.
I don't know. I've been having a lot of breathing issues. I think, you know, walking up a flight of steps, I'm out of breath. It's so weird.
Well, are you working out?
That's a problem. I haven't worked out in 5 months. I need to get back. I'm really like, beating myself up about it.
But, well, I mean, you know, it's up to you when you're going to do it, so as long as don't be thinking about doing it when you're having a heart attack.
Right.
I'm sorry.
So is our guest going to be ready for us today?
Yeah, he is. He's ready. He's ready to go, actually. I just have to.
I can't wait to have him on.
Yeah, but, like, okay, let me just, I will call him right now. But I want to, like, I want to post this on my Facebook, on Twitter and Facebook real quick. Socialchats.net. Okay, what was that?
Sorry.
No problem.
Someone.
Huh? No problem.
Technical difficulties here.
Aging in. Okay, I'm almost done. I'm just going to just make sure I put this in because I chat with. And
so this whole month is dedicated to heart health.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And kind of see what heart month and Heart and Stroke Foundation of Canada is doing it. So Canada, and it's actually worldwide.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Everyone's together on this.
Well, I should find the numbers for what country has the most heart attack. Is it Europe or is it America? I always think, I just always for some reason think the Europeans are have more health issues than we do, but I don't know. Maybe not.
I don't think so because they walk more than we do.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, they're not spoiled like we are. So
yeah.
They eat real rich foods, but a lot of their foods are organic or farm-raised, you know.
Uh-huh.
When I lived in France, we would shop for our daily meal. We wouldn't have, like, stored foods. So we'd go to the market, and they'd have fresh vegetables, fresh fruits for the day. And it was a daily thing. So that makes a difference. You know, it's not all these foods with preservatives and fillers.
Yeah, that's probably why, because they probably eat more fresh food every day, so.
Yeah.
Okay, let me just hit this play and.
Plus, they walk more. I mean, they do walk more, and they don't eat as much as we are. We're big on quantities and buffets, and you know that they don't do that in Europe.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you know, you don't hear about buffets in Asia or Europe. The only time you hear about buffet is when you go. Really, what I think of buffet, I think of Vegas. But I don't want to, you know,
I never saw one when I was there. Never.
Well, I know. I'm talking about when long time ago, when I used to go to Vegas, not for work, but just, you know, with, 15 years ago when the guy I was dating.
Oh.
He thought people thought when you go to Vegas, you got to go to a buffet. And I don't know. It was the first time I went to Vegas back then.
So you ate at all the buffets?
Well, we ate at one buffet, and then my mom would take us to the buffet, thinking that that's what we're supposed to do.
All you can eat.
Yeah, when you came to the United States, my mom's like, wow, food. So we went to all the buffet, you know. It's kind of funny, but, you know, when you're just coming over to America and you're not, it's kind of weird because we're not even used to the American foods, just the fact that we saw all this food.
Right.
And, you know, we're used to eating, vegetables and fruit and stuff like that. So just to see all that food in front of us was incredible.
So it was like a carnival or...
Yeah, I got all excited over it. I used to like drool over buffet. Now I'm kind of like, I'm hypochondriac freakiness. I worry about it, so.
Yeah, well, yeah. If you walk into one of those places and you look around, you'll see there's a lot of heart disease.
Yeah.
It's really sad, but, you know.
I'm surprised that...
The foods in those places are just really crap food. I mean, you know, it's like the worst shrimp, the worst, you know, yeah. You don't have, like, quality food there, so.
So here you go. I'm going to call Lon.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to chat with him for a little bit and get him to tell us a little bit more information about this. Okay, hold on. Lon? Hey, Lon, this is Tanya Schultz and Sandra Lopez with Social Chats. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Fantastic. Can you, how do I sound to you? Can you hear me?
Excuse me?
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I'm the Asian girl that streamed your talk at Heart Camp, by the way.
Awesome.
And thank you so much. It was a very informative lecture that you did about CPR.
Well, thank you very much.
And we're very excited about it. And what I wanted to ask you some questions, and before we start, Lon, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and when did you found it? One Beat CPR. Yeah, I feel like your company is the one stop place to go to learn about CPR and everything else you offer.
The name of the company is One Beat CPR.
Yes, I know. I made a mistake. I always think of your one stop because you're like, you know, it's like everything you need to know about CPR is your company. That's what I was thinking of. But One Beat CPR. So tell us a little bit about yourself and why did you start One Beat CPR?
Okay, first of all, I'm a firefighter paramedic. I work in Miami, keep this game. And one of the reasons I started One Beat was I was working for a national organization, and I felt as though they weren't touching or hitting the home market, the home sector here in South Florida. When I say the home market, meaning our local community.
Mm-hmm.
So I found it very important to focus on the community here, the private sector, private businesses, private doctor's offices. Pretty much businesses that probably do $1 million or less. That's pretty much which is a great target market here in South Florida because instead of focusing on corporate America.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the reasons I really pursued this avenue.
And so tell us a bit about One Beat CPR. So because you know, I'm like looking at the facts you have on your website and which is, we were just on the CDC's website about heart disease, which is incredible. And the numbers are only reflecting for 2008. I could imagine what the numbers are like now in 2012. According to your site, it says sudden cardiac arrest is a leading cause of death in the United States, accounting for an estimated 325,000 deaths each year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the CDC actually has a higher number.
What's their number?
I'm going to tell you right now. We were just talking about that. Here it is. It's right here. Da, da, da. This is only for 2008. 616,000 people died of heart disease.
Heart disease?
Yeah.
Sudden cardiac arrest.
Yeah. So half of that number, so half of the number of sudden cardiac arrest is
related to heart
disease. Disease. Yeah.
Any sort of heart disease, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they say that the coronary heart disease is the most common type of heart disease. So it's like 405,309 people died from coronary heart disease.
Well, Wambi is actually a two-fold business. We do the training, uh-huh. and we also provide and sell Philips defibrillators, Philips AEDs. So I think they go hand in hand. And today's economy, in today's day and age,
what is an AED? I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. This is Sandy.
An AED is a portable defibrillator that if someone goes into sudden cardiac arrest, it's a diagnostic tool. Any layperson or any, believe it or not, or any doctor that's a specialty doctor, like a dentist, an OBGYN, a chiropractor, they're not really used to reading EKGs once they get out of medical school, like a paramedic would or a nurse would or an ER physician.
Right.
So a portable defibrillator, you hook it up to someone, it analyzes the underlying rhythm, and if they're in what we call a shock of the rhythm, the portable defibrillator will shock them back into what we call a normal sinus rhythm, hopefully bring them back to life.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
So it does everything for you, basically.
Correct. It even coaches you through CPR.
Nice. What is the cost of one of those?
Retail, about $1,500, and we are a wholesale distributor, and we could get them for anyone for under $1,000.
Wow, that's very great. Nice. I work with doctors, so it's good to know. I will definitely let them know. We're a cosmetic surgeon's office, yeah. and we do lipo, and you never really know when someone's going to go.
Who's the surgeon?
It's a GL clinic. I work for GL clinic. It's in Boca Raton.
Oh, that's not my client, but my big client up there is the Boca Raton Sanctuary Plastic Surgeon's Office there.
Oh, okay.
That's my client. I provide CPR and HLS training to their facility.
Oh, well, we're planning to come visit you, actually, Lon. I'm going to come.
Well, we come to you if need be.
Oh, cool.
Okay, cool. So
very cool. And I'm looking at your CPR training classes. So you hold those at a facility or
both? Correct. At my office, or we are ambulatory. We come to you as well.
Oh, good. And you give CMEs and CEUs as well for the doctors and the healthcare practitioners.
Correct.
Nice.
That's really important. Well, a lot of them, they look for that too. So especially the CMEs for the docs. So
very reasonable.
Extremely reasonable. We're going to take a class. So Lon, I was just talking to Sandra about this, in the United States, if you touch someone and they're hurt, everyone's so worried about, getting sued.
I'm glad you brought that up. There is no reported case that I'm aware of where someone lost a lawsuit that initiated CPR and stayed within their training guidelines, what they are trained to do. That's number one. You don't even have to be a CPR. You don't even have to be CPR certified. And just be acting as a good Samaritan, and you're covered under what we call under the Good Samaritan Law.
I see. Okay, it's Good Samaritan Law. That's what I'm gonna have to tweet that. Yeah, because I think I remember you talking about that at Heart Camp, and because I've always been told that don't touch anybody if they're down, don't touch them. Call the ambulance and let them handle it. And I always think, what happened is by the time the ambulance come, that person is like dead already.
Correct. That's part of the problem, that people do not know, they're not educated enough to know that there is the Good Samaritan Law, or they're not aware of the importance of hooking them up to a portable defibrillator or starting CPR. It's so, so important.
So if you hook someone up with a defibrillator, what's the difference between if you had one and then you don't have one and do CPR on them? Is there a big difference as far as helping them, the survival rate?
Huge difference.
Oh.
yeah, with just doing CPR, they have roughly between like a 3 and 7% chance of being resuscitated with just CPR.
Okay.
If you hook them up to a portable defibrillator within the first 4 minutes of sudden cardiac arrest, they have a greater chance of 75% chance of being resuscitated.
Wow. That's a huge number.
Some studies out there say 85%.
Wow, that's... That's huge. So if someone is having a heart issue, they already have one, they should own one of these machines in their house and have somebody.
Correct.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. Does insurance cover any of it?
Yeah, exactly, Sandra. I was going to say that.
I know there is insurance code for it, but I don't know that you got reimbursement for it.
Oh, okay. But does your company help with that?
It's something we're looking into. It's not something we offer right now.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
No problem.
No, it makes sense. Wouldn't it make sense for insurance to cover that? Because, you know, the benefit to the patient outweighs the cost is going to be down the long run if they don't, you know, even if you bring them back because they weren't...
It'd be less visits to the hospital, you know?
Yeah, save some money.
Correct.
But as you know, there's always something going on in the healthcare. Stuff like this, I really believe that everyone in America should have one, especially if you have a heart issue. Because you never know. It's better than be prepared. This is one of those, it's like a first aid kit. It needs to be next to your first aid kit.
Pretty much, exactly. They do sell these kits, and the portable defibrillators are in there.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I think it's very important for people to have these or be cognizant of where they are located in malls or sporting venues or social events. They are everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So... People don't know what they are.
Yeah. Well, I actually know a little bit about it just from working with someone. And they actually ordered one. We ordered one online. But I think we paid like $1,500, $1,600 for it. And
sure.
Yeah.
you didn't call me, that's why.
Well, I didn't know you then. I wish I did. But that was the whole thing. We were like shopping and we were like looking at all these different... ones, and actually, it looks just like the one that you carry. It's in a little red box. It looks just like the one you carry, actually. But, and you guys have been around for over 12 years? Or you have, how long?
Correct. We're starting our 13th year right now.
Oh, wow, okay. So, and you train firefighters, paramedics, and police officers?
I train anyone, and most all my instructors are paramedics, firefighters, and police officers, correct. We will train anybody.
What do you think, what your professional opinion, why the average consumers are not concerned about getting this educated? Are they just not informed? Media hasn't picked it up yet?
All of the above. Uninformed, thinking it's not going to happen to them.
Yeah.
They're not really quite sure the effects that this happens on families or businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Well, mostly it is not going to happen to me, and unaware or uninstated of the importance of a portable defibrillator.
Well, Sandra's ex-husband went through three. What, Sandra? He went through two or three?
He went to three cardiac arrests.
Wow! And yeah. He lived.
Yeah,
he still lives.
He had a couple of stents in his heart.
He's a walking miracle.
Yeah, he is. He is. I'm laughing about it now, but it was really serious. It just happened, and he was 36 years old. So, you know, his lifestyle was the reason. So he was probably, you know, a good statistic for it. But, we never thought it would happen at 36 years old.
Of course not. Yeah. A lot of people think this only happens to the elderly.
Yeah, and it started when we were overseas. So if had we had a Philips AED, you know, probably would have avoided, you know, having to go to the hospital and maybe him getting all the operations he has. He's on about six different medications now because of it.
Oh my God!
Wow, that's
for
crazy.
Life.
That's horrible.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I'm really excited. I can't wait to do the CPR class. I did a class when I was in high school,
uh-huh.
and I forgot everything.
Well, take a class with us, and we're going to make it for free.
Oh, thank you. Connie and I are both
gonna
probably put together some people who might want to have this. You know, we have friends in the medical industry. You know, they probably would want to get classes. If we could get a few people up, you know, we could probably have you come up and do the class for us.
Sure, one more time on the last part.
I said we could probably have you come and do the class for us.
Sure, absolutely. I would love to.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
I'd be honored to.
So, Lon, do we just call? Who should we talk to in your organization to get it set up?
Speaker Rhonda.
Rhonda? Okay. I'm going to call her later on today when we get the calendar and stuff. So, yeah, because this is such an important matter. And I, you know, and it's kind of funny because, you know, I went to high school in the 80s, early 80s, and that was a big thing in high school was for to go get certified in CPR. Remember that, Sandra? We're like, everyone's like, I wanted to, so, this.
I think it was a requirement back then.
Yeah, but nowadays, they don't really teach that in school. The kids, my son is.
They don't even have PE. I think that's where they taught it.
Yeah, where PE was it.
They don't even have PE, so they're lowering their physical activity.
So we're going
to. Heart attacks on the making.
So you.
I know, but it's sad, you know. They don't have physical education in schools.
Well, our goal, Lon, is we're going to help promote your company. Because I think the CPR training is really important. I think the Philips ADED machine is important to everyone. Because I want to get one for my house just to have. Just, you never know. Because I have like a huge first aid kit. So my boyfriend, he believes in being prepared. So he has, I don't think he has one of these. I should ask him about to get one. But he has a whole, one of those military Army hospital kit, you know, that they drop down. He paid $2,000 for it. He's all excited. If anything happens, he has it. So I'm not quite sure if it has one of those in there or not, but we want to get one for the house because it's better than safe than sorry. I'll tell you that.
Plus
he has two elderly parents,
yeah.
You know, that he has to care for.
Yeah, that's we're gonna have to get one. Yeah, that's. I talk about that, and they think I'm you know, a little bit over worried, but I think that they need to get one for the house just to have, because you never know. And I'd like to get him to take a CPR class with me. Maybe I'll come to the class when we get Lon to come up.
I'd be more happy to come out.
So Lon, you guys are only for the local area right now, for just the South Florida, as far as doing your CPR classes.
We are in the Tri-County area, but I have instructors all over the state. We have any class anywhere in the state, pretty much anywhere in the country. I have instructors that I have all over.
Oh, wow. So you're a national. Awesome. Yeah, because a lot of people don't quite know that, and I'd like to get some media on this because it's such an important matter, and it's something that's so important like this. It's so simple, but yet a lot of time, you know, it's brushed underneath because nobody really thinks about it until it's too late. Because, you know, like, for example, in the malls, when I believe it or not, I used to sell first aid and safety. I used to sell, like, these first aid kits to malls and anyone that has 6 employees or more. And they never really talked about that. Like, I'm trying to think back then. We did talk about CPR, but we didn't really, it wasn't a major thing for us. We just want to make sure that we got our first aid kits in there.
Perfect.
So,
let me know anytime you guys want to take a class. I'll even put a free demo on and talk about the defibrillator somewhere.
Yeah.
There's enough people to have enough people to listen.
So, yeah, so it's like over 10 people is good for you?
That's fine.
Awesome. And I still want to get you guys involved in the life extension. I think I mentioned it to you when I saw you. I talked to the co-founder of the Life Extension Foundation, and they have a store on Federal Highway in Fort Lauderdale. It's between Cypress and Commercial. I was like telling them they should have a should offer a CPR class for the members, and have you guys come out. So I'll talk to you guys more about that off the air. But Lon, I want to say thank you so much for coming on today, and Sandra and I was very excited about it. And
thank you so much.
Well, hey, thank you very much for having me.
And I'll have the show on, I'll feature the show today for 24 hours, and then I'll have his own link, so I'll email Sarah the link for her, so she, you guys can have it.
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks, Lon. Have a great day.
Have a great day.
Call me for anything.
Oh, no, we will. It's a promise.
Thank you.
Bye. Oh, this is great. We should do this. This is so fun. But, that, you know what, Sandra, it makes sense that your whole office should be trained on CPR.
Yeah, we should be. We should be.
We should be. That's important because you never know. So, yeah, that machine that he, the pivotator, it's pretty interesting. I'd like to learn how to use one of those things.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I would like to have one.
No, I want one. I'm going to get one. I want one. I really do. I want one because I think everyone should have one, and I really feel that people should be trained on this. And really, you know, for some reason, you only hear about CPR from firefighters, paramedics, and police officers. I mean, those are the people that have to be trained on it. But if someone is down, does anyone know how to, I mean, how many people in a room of 30 people, if someone just has a heart attack, how many of those people can actually perform CPR?
That's an interesting survey.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I should do like a quick question.
I think I'd feel a lot better if I was in a restaurant or on a plane, knowing that someone could perform CPR.
Yeah, but I think the employees of the plane, I mean the airline students should have been able to do it.
Sorry?
Usually the airline students, aren't they like trained on CPR? I hope so.
I don't know. They might be trained and never use it, or, you know, I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, like, any service industry employees, are they trained on this? I mean, I know the restaurant's employees know, but, like, for an example, if you were on a plane and you went down, are the airline stewardess, can they perform CPR on you?
I don't know.
Hmm.
Good question.
I know. I don't. You know, the problem with me is like I'm gonna get all wrapped up in the CPR thing.
Now every time we go somewhere, we'll probably ask them a million questions. Does anybody have training in CPR? And before getting on a plane, you know.
Oh, I know. That would be very interesting, wouldn't it?
Going overseas to a resort, you know?
Yeah. Do any of those people, and what about if you take a cruise? Is it just only the ship doctor that knows how to do CPR, or does any one of the stewardess know how to do the CPR?
I had an anxiety right now when you said that.
Why?
Oh my gosh, because those ships are so big, you know?
That's what I'm saying.
How fast can someone get to you, you know?
I know, the moment you go down, like, who can, like, revive you? Right. Who can give you perform CPR? Yeah. And not afraid to perform CPR, that's the thing. You know, people don't, and I'm glad he talked about the Good Samaritan Act, but a lot of people don't want to touch people because they don't want to get sued because that's their, that they've always been told that. I wish anyone out there listening, if you're a health journalist, please write an article about this. Because I think people need to know about this. Like, it's okay.
Yeah, people definitely need to be aware about the Good Samaritan Act.
Yeah.
That was really informative. I'm so glad he was on the show.
I know. Well, that's one of the things that I always think about. You know, when I help someone, I'm like always worried. I hope these people don't turn around and sue me.
No, that's so sad.
Yeah, right?
You know, that we have to think of that. You know?
Yeah, that's what the world is coming through these days. So before we go, before we round up the show, actually, we're gonna book a class for a One Beat CPR to come out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, send us an email.
Yeah, I'm gonna forward you the email for it, and then maybe we can do like something with social chats where we have people sign up for it. We can create an event. But where would they get trained if we have more than 10 people?
Yeah. Well, mean, you know, we probably could get together that many people in a room.
Yeah.
Tanya, you know, and you know, interested parties, you know.
Yeah.
Because we have so many people in the service industry that we know.
Yeah.
All the restaurants you go to.
Well, before we go, I didn't get to ask Lon about this, but I'm on their website. So if you guys want to connect with them on Facebook, go to One Beat CPR and like their page for me.
Oh, I'm going to do that.
I'm doing it right now.
I haven't done that yet.
I'm going to write a recommendation on here. Just, okay. Yeah, actually, I'm
going to
leave that right here. And if you want to follow them on Twitter, is One Beat CPR. So again, their website is onebeatcpr.com.
What is that? I'm sorry, I didn't get that.
The website is onebeatcpr.com. So it's one O N E B A T C P R.com. So they have a YouTube page. They're very social. YouTube page. They have a LinkedIn. They're on Twitter. They're on Facebook. So. I love them already because they're so social.
Nice. Okay, that makes it easy. I was looking for them on Facebook, and it wasn't coming up on my search because there's no space between them.
Yeah.
But I'm liking their page now.
One thing.
And I'm also going to hit their Twitter and...
Oh, yeah. I'm doing that right now. I'm going to write them a recommendation on their... Facebook page.
Oh, look, they have pictures of Hard Camp. How cute. That was such a nice event.
I loved it. It was a great one-day event. Everyone had a good time. And you know, on Thursday, we were talking about that Maria needs to take her Hard Camp on the road for the month of February.
Oh, yeah.
I said, yeah, she can get a bus. They're like, no. I'm like, you know what? Get a train. Train will be more fun. Don't want a bus. Bus will take forever.
Oh, this is cute. All your bamboos are on here.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, he did a good job. He's very informative. He's just very, you know. He knows what he's talking about, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, well. I mean, that's his industry, you know, he knows all that, and he probably, you know, wants to save more lives.
Yeah, well, this is a very important thing that he does. But before we go, I want to do a few birthday shout-out today. My good friend, Craig Aragonoff, is his birthday, the worst pizza dude. And also, you know, Craig does more than that. Craig is a very good social media friend of mine, and he knows everything. And he's the co-founder of Gripped.com. So, anything you need to know about technology, he's the man. Maria Camacho, happy birthday. And also Vincent Anuzieta, happy birthday.
I have a birthday. Scott Rose, happy birthday. He's a new dad this year.
Aw, congrats.
Yeah, so... Have a good birthday, Daddy-O.
Daddy-O. So everyone have a great day. I'll be back tomorrow with Social Chats Personal Branding. And I'll be back with Ghost Executive on Twitter. She's known as Ghost Executive on Twitter. I'm having a hard time talking today for some reason.
That L-carnitine.
I think so. How did you know? I took too much today. I'm like sitting in my seat.
I'm
going to
do my L-carnitine injection today and glutathione.
Well, I'll be over. I'm coming over to get one.
Alrighty, we'll see you later then.
Yeah, I have to come over. I have to get mine because I didn't do it last week, and I like to do it once a week, especially now with the weather, you know, going cold to hot. People tend to get sick, especially upper respiratory issue. Glutathione is really good for your breathing, for chest. Respiratory health, as they call it. So and I'm not a doctor. I just read up a lot on it, so. But I figured.
Why? Well, it's good. I mean, like, you do a lot of different life extension supplements, and they are so good at research and giving us information on, you know, what the use is and, you know, any symptoms you may have. And they do all the clinical studies. So.
Well, they have a whole protocol for influenza, so.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I think that's awesome.
Great.
Yeah.
Was that a plug? Life extension.
Oh, but speaking of life extension, this is like the coolest thing ever, and I just saw it on their Facebook page, actually. It's a picture of a sign on Times Square. It's a picture of Life Extension, you know, because Life Extension is rated number one in four categories for their from Consumer Lab.
Oh.
Yep. So, and their Omega Fish Oil is one of the top ones, so. So, yeah, so there's a picture on Times Square with the Life Extension product. I think is it the Omega Fish that they have right there? But, hold on, let me just enlarge this and see what the zoom in. Oops, I just zoom out. Okay, zoom in. No, I guess zoom out. It looks like the Omega Fish, yeah, oil. It's the number one in four Consumer Lab survey. So, it's number one. Awesome. So, that's a quick plug for them.
Life Extension has so much information. I went on their website just now.
Yeah.
And something struck my interest. It was, it says, helping a middle-aged brain. Boy, do I feel like I have a middle-aged brain.
Yeah, especially when you couldn't find my car last night.
Sorry?
You couldn't find my car last night, remember?
I know. I parked it and forgot where I parked it.
No,
oh my God.
I take like some, what is it, cognitive, and I, for a while there, this is one of the Life Extension products, it's so for memory, I would forget to take it.
You were, that's pathetic.
It is pathetic.
Oh gosh, I'm gonna share this on my page. Since most of my friends are middle-aged.
Well, they have a new product. That's and actually, you know, we talked about this. A new product, novel, is it the magnesium product that they have?
Uh-huh.
That helps a lot, too.
I think. Oh, I know. You're a big magnesium girl. You're always doing the magnesium. I'm afraid of magnesium.
Well, actually, I was thinking about you today, and I was thinking that I need to get you some.
Well, let's go to Life Extension. I haven't been to their new store.
Yeah, well, I need to go because I need to stock up. I really, I'm like, I haven't gone in like, I'm going through withdrawals because I'm actually out of stuff. I haven't gone in a couple months, so I need to go and get some new products, some more stuff. But they say that low magnesium is, levels of Alzheimer's disease is associated with memory loss among aging.
Yeah, and I'm concerned about that, you know.
Yes.
Because of my family history, so.
So I think you should take it. And also magnesium. I take magnesium before I go to bed. And it helps relax me quite a bit, too.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah. Remember I have all this magnesium gel?
Yes.
But you can't take too much of it. But I have like.
Oh, I know. You also give me some oil, magnesium oil.
Yeah.
And you know, every time I used it on my clients, because I would give them a small massage on their hands, it would relax them and actually relax me too. I mean, I think I was a little bit too relaxed afterwards.
Yeah, well, I think we need to start using some of that again too. But I have to be careful not to take too much because I love it so much. You know, too much of a good thing is not good. So.
All right, right.
Okay, everybody, have a great day. And Sandra, I'll see you later. I'm going to come by for my lipotropic injection and my glutathione injection. And I'll see everyone at GL Clinic in Boca in a few minutes. So.
All righty, I'll see you later.
Okay.